Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard.
This is KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One.
Brian Newman, PhD. You're a historian with
the United States Army Center of Military History.
And that's located in Washington, D.C.?
Correct.
Since we're here at Fort Hunter Liggett, is have you talk about who Hunter Liggett was and why he was such a seminal figure in World War I?
General Liggett was a United States Army officer, a regular Army. He had served within the Army for many years.
He was like 1870s, 1880s when he went in?
Yes. Yeah. He was in the Spanish-American War. He was in the Philippines. He had seen his early days had been spent out on the American frontier. So his time in the Army spans the transition of the United States Army from a frontier constabulary to what we now think of as the modern United States Army, as a organization that can project power internationally.
What I find most fascinating is in World War I, we all know the name of General Pershing, but very few people know the name Hunter Liggett.
Correct, yes. Probably one of the most regrettable outcomes in terms of individual reputations is that General Liggett does not get as much acclaim, or he's not as renowned amongst Americans. He was really probably the most successful combat commander, large unit commander within the American Expeditionary Forces. He had initially deployed to Europe as a division commander. He is very quickly going to rise to be the first corps commander.
Was he general at that time? Was he
yes.
A lieutenant general?
He's a major general, and he is going to be eventually elevated to lieutenant general. So he will be commander of the 1st Corps. And then in the fall of 1918, when the United States, or when the AEF, is engaged in the Meuse-Argonne, and Pershing elevates himself out of field command to become an Army group commander, General Liggett is going to take over command of 1st Army and really lead 1st Army through the last 4 weeks of the war, when the Americans are going to break through the Hindenburg line and then break through the last German line and start really driving forward.
I think that another part of his unsung heroism has to do with being a military tactician and how he was truly a game changer in military tactics, combined arms, that remains in place today. Talk about that.
Something that General Liggett really understood was the importance of utilizing all of your tools together, but also applying the objectives, the forces and objectives, and aligning those two so that you never try to achieve more than you can effectively accomplish. Something that Liggett was really instrumental in was making sure that all of the different pieces of his forces work together.
That would be infantry, artillery.
Armor, understanding logistics, understanding aircraft or air power, and really understanding the creation of the multidimensional battlefield that really we start to see emerge in the First World War.
There was a game changer, what he came up with, and it wasn't rocket science in a lot of ways.
I think that one of his great skills was that he was incredibly well-read. He was a student of history, which I, of course, am a fan of, but he also understood the need to remain intellectually flexible and to be able to adjust to circumstances and to the situations that he faced, and to not be hamstrung by old concepts of, whether they be tactics, but old ideas, and that while he was an older gentleman and he was not the most physically robust, he was, you know, fairly overweight is a polite way to put it, but he had an incredibly nimble mind, And that was really, that was his greatest attribute, was his mental flexibility. What Liggett was great at doing was bringing all of the different components together and really understanding that with the modern battlefield, it wasn't just infantry, it wasn't just artillery, it wasn't just armor, it wasn't just air. It was how all those elements came together as a unified whole. And so we really see the beginnings of true combined arms operations, which we know of today. I mean, that's how we fight. And it's really that concept of the three-dimensional battlefield really originates with the war. And I think Liggett understood that very well.
So that is his bottom line legacy then?
His legacy, I would say, is that he was the most successful combat commander of the AEF.
That's a pretty...
I don't want to say that he was the most revolutionary commander in history, but he was the most effective combat commander in the American forces in Europe during the First World War, and he is probably one of the great combat commanders in American 20th century military history.
And what happened after the armistice? Did he stay on in Europe? Was he involved at the Treaty of Versailles? Or, you know, when did he rotate back?
He is not going to stay on. He is going to rotate back. And unfortunately, I'm not as familiar with his post-war biography.
That was my next question. You know, what happens to people like that after the war?
You know, he's going to retire not long after. And his legacy is going to be on those men and the officers that served with him. And you see that really the Second World War generation of men like Patton and MacArthur and Marshall, they are going to be the students of the First World War generation, and they are going to have learned many of the lessons that they're going to implement under the tutelage of men such as Pershing and Liggett. Other individuals like Bullard and so on and so forth.
Very cool. Well, only because you got a car waiting for you to take it to presentation. I'm going to let you go. Brian Newman, PhD historian with the U.S. Army Center for Military History in Washington, D.C., thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you very much.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Hunter Liggett.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolf, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust preservation initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.